Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today we're talking Cubs, Dodgers, baseball. I love it. This is the time of year I love, because it's baseball, basketball, football. You have the NBA starting. Football is at it's about to turn the corner, and it's going to get colder. It's colder today. I'm in New Jersey. This is a great time of year to talk sports. We're going to have Al Yellen on, who covers the Chicago Cubs for SB Nation. We're going to talk about the Dodgers, Cubs, the matchup with the Indians, who may be World Series, beating Toronto Blue Jays, who really didn't put up any type of a fight. I mean, Cleveland took the day off in Game 4 and then took care of business in Game 5. No resistance whatsoever. Toronto struck out 50 times. I looked and counted every time they struck out, and it got up to 50 times in 4 games. So, I mean, I never want to see Bautista flip the bat in the air, because he's never won anything. That would be my first thing. Whatever you won, they haven't won anything. Toronto, they got the talent. I don't know if they got the heart to be a champion. They have the talent because of the playoffs, but heart, they don't have it. But I tell you, the Cubs and the Dodgers do have a lot of heart. This has been a great series. The Cubs are up 3-2. They really showed a lot of grit, winning 8-4 the other day. It was a 1-1 game. I didn't like Dave Roberts pulling out his starter. He was pitching well, and then he went to the bullpen too soon. He got a bullpen help to pitch Lester, and that's what all heck broke loose when Anderson Russell hit a 3-run homer off of, who got hot the previous game before hitting a 3-run homer. And then he hits what could possibly be, and I think could, a curse-breaking home run to give the Cubs the lead for good. And it's a 3-run homer, and he's hot as a firecracker. He's seeing the ball well. It's going the opposite field, and that's the key. And Anthony Rizzo has woken up after he hit a home run. He's seeing the ball well, and Chris Bryant's been good. Other than Hayward, everybody's contributed. Hayward has, he can't hit. He's a good fielder. And he's trying. You can tell he's trying out there. But the Dodgers, I love how the Dodgers have fought. I love the fight in Dave Roberts' team. I think that they have a superstar at shortstop in Corey Seager. He's about 6'5", built out of A-Rod mold, Derek Jeter. This guy is a superstar. I love him. You know, I love Kershaw. He's my favorite non-Chicago Cub player. He's pitched well under pressure. And they pitch pretty well. You haven't seen Jansen except for the game 3, the game where they dominated the Cubs. But I'm going to tell you, I like the fact as a Cub fan that the Cubs are playing up for each other instead of down 3-2, where Kershaw could close you out. There's a whole lot of pressure. There's still pressure to finish it because you haven't been in a World Series since 1945, but this group is hungry, and there's a desperation and a hunger in these young guys. And to be a champion, you got to be hungry. You got to have enough humility to respect your opponent. And you got to have the clutch gene. And I'm seeing it in this group. And the Dodgers are not going out easy. I don't care if they do. They have 6-7 on the road. Dave Roberts is a fighter. You see that when he was at Boston, he won. He's going to have his team ready. And you just hope. I mean, you got to keep Gonzalez in the ballpark. I think Kendricks has to keep Gonzalez in the ballpark. And Kendricks is a perfect guy for this kind of game, a calm demeanor. He pitched well in the 1-0 loss. He gave up a mistake to Gonzalez. You have to keep Gonzalez in the ballpark. You got to keep Toll off the base. That kid is a pain in the neck. And I was kind of ecstatic that he didn't play. And they put Yasiel Puig in, who was a great potential talent. He hasn't showed his talent all the way through, and he's not as disciplined as Toll. Toll's a pain in the neck. He gets on base. He steals bases. He doesn't miss any pitches. He'll spray the ball the other way. The Dodgers have a nice young team. The Cubs are young. I think the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Mets, because they'll get their pitching back. Harvey will come back. They have great pitching, so they should be back if they spend, if they sign Cespedes. Not signing Daniel Murphy cost them probably a World Series title. You know, the Nationals will be back, but the Nationals I can't trust. The Nationals are like the Toronto Blue Jays. They get in and lose. The Cardinals will be back. They're young. They're always going to be around. I think those teams are set to always end up playing each other the next couple of years if they stay healthy. Tonight's an interesting game because there's no pressure whatsoever on the Cubs, which is cool. I do like that. But we'll see. We will see how this shakes down. I like now if the Dodgers win, they have to be ecstatic because Arrieta has not pitched good. He's pitched a little cowardly. I don't want to say cowardly. He was easy to hit. Grandal had a moonshot on him. I think he'll pitch better if they do lose. He'll pitch better than Wrigley. If they do win and he has to pitch in Cleveland, I'll be nervous. I'll be really nervous. I just don't like – he didn't pitch good against St. Louis at home. He didn't get pitch good against the Mets. I didn't like how he pitched at all against the Giants. I really didn't like how he pitched at all against the Giants. He didn't fight like Lackey and Lester. Even though Lackey didn't pitch well, he fought. He was a gamer. He was in there. Battling. I don't carry out everything. He's like Mike Mussina was. Everything has to be well. He's a workout freak. The cutter has to work. The fastball has to be located perfectly, or you can hit him. I need more of him. He has to be more of a battler. That's the only way the Cubs have a chance to beat the Dodgers. And they really have to play much better if you're going to beat a hot Indian team. You know. Much better if they're going to beat the Indians. We're waiting for Al Yellen to come on because I'm fascinated to talk to him. He was the one that talked me off a ledge after the Cubs struggled in that when they got blown out by the Mets. And they went on that long losing streak where they lost to the Braves. They could have lost to a high school team the way they're playing. Then the Cubs got hot. And they never looked back. And they had the lead anyway, and they were able to get the home field advantage. And they kept it moving, and I enjoyed that. You know, but the Dodgers also struggled because Kershaw got hurt. You know, he had his back injuries. You know, he had his back injuries. And then the Dodgers were left for dead. And it looked like the Giants were going to make another run to another World Series. But the Dodgers hung tough. Hopefully Al can come on. I know that Chicago and the city of Chicago has to be excited. I think if they were down 3-2, they'd have been nervous fans. I think they're ready. They believe somehow, some way they're going to beat Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers are thinking, listen, we won against the Nationals twice. We are tough. We got some tough-minded guys. Gonzalez, he never, ever – I mean, the thing I love about Adrian Gonzalez is he has the perfect swing where he can go the opposite field. It's not a violent swing. It's an easy swing where he can – he's a good guesser. His baseball IQ is off the charts. So you rarely fool him. I remember the one pitch Lester got him out on. It was a borderline ball or strike, and he felt like it was a ball, so he was furious. And the Cubs needed that out. And Lester, I can't say enough about John Lester. He was lights out, and he was fired up. And you know the Dodgers were trying to distract him with their base running. and it didn't work. I don't think the Dodgers stole the bases that they wanted to steal. They did have one where Kendrick stole third and scored, and they scratched out a run. But Lester didn't pay no mind toward the Dodgers. Now, if the Cubs are fortunate enough to get out of the series, the Indians are going to run. They're not going to bluff. Coco Crisp and Lindor and all those guys, they're gonna run. They're going to challenge Lester. So Lester's going to have to throw the ball to first. They're going to have to, if they do survive, they're going to have a game plan where the brain trust of Chicago works almost like a spring training. Listen, just throw the first base a couple times. You throw it away, it's on me. Well, throw the first to challenge him. Okay, we have Al yelling on. And Al, I want from SB Nation, he covers the Chicago Cubs. Al, I want to thank you for talking me off a ledge in the summertime when I was worried about the Cubs. And here they are, 3-2, with a chance to close out the Dodgers. What's the mood of the series, the city?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously everybody's really excited about the possibilities. We can't help but being a little nervous. Having been in this spot before, a chance to go to the World Series with one win. But, you know, this is all different. This is not those previous teams. This is a team that doesn't care about all that history. This is a team that really doesn't care about anything except going out there and playing winning baseball. So, you know, it's not going to be easy tonight. Clayton Kershaw is a great pitcher, probably the best pitcher in baseball. They're going to have to beat the best pitcher in baseball.
He definitely is the best pitcher in baseball. The mood of the team has to be a lot less pressure because of the fact that it's 3-2. Kershaw can't finish them. He's still a no-hitter, and you got a game 7. So yeah, I'm not saying you're playing with house money, but I think the approach should be a lot less pressure. So you got a chance to maybe scratch a run or two off of him. What do you think?
Well, that's it. I mean, I think if you can get to Kershaw early, get him out of that game, then, you know, get a lead so that the Dodgers don't go to their, you know, their good late inning relief pitchers who are also good. You know, Kenley Jansen's a great shutdown closer. If you can prevent him from getting in the game and you can get a lead, then the Cubs can get their bullpen guys in and maybe win a close game. It's going to be kind of chilly tonight, so I don't expect a lot of runs to be scored. Look for a close game like it was the last time Kershaw and Kyle Hendricks matched up last Sunday. Could be another 1-0 game possibly.
Yeah, and I also think that the Cubs are in good shape as far as the perfect guy as far as Kyle Kendricks. Now, you've been in baseball a while. How are the comparisons to Greg Maddux? Because they don't throw the ball as hard, but they're great at spotting the ball on the inside and outside corner. Is that a fair comparison?
Well, I mean, you can't really make a fair comparison of anybody to a Hall of Fame pitcher like Greg Maddux. But, you know, what you're talking about is their approach. And the approach is that you don't have to throw 95 miles an hour. You know, Hendricks barely breaks 90, but he can locate in the zone as good as anybody. And, you know, what he's been doing is getting a lot of strikeouts on changeups. So he'll throw an 88, 89 mile an hour fastball, and these guys will foul it off or whatever. And then all of a sudden there's an 81 mile an hour changeup, and they swing right through it. It's just amazing to watch him carve up hitters that way. And the whole second half of the season. I don't see any reason why he can't do it again.
Oh, he's been terrific. The one guy I'm worried about is Adrian Gonzalez because of how great a hitter he is, and his IQ is off the charts as far as recognizing the pitches and where the approach. You think, because he took him deep before, how do you think Kendrick's going to go inside? He hit an outside pitch to the left field. What do you think their approach is going to be to deal with Gonzalez?
Well, you got, obviously, you know, he is one of the best hitters in the game, and as you said, that was a home run that was hit. That was the only run in that 1-0 game in game 2. You have to remember also, and I don't want to make too much of the weather conditions, but it's going to be a lot cooler than it was for game 2. Temperatures were in the 70s. It's going to be a lot cooler than it was in Los Angeles when temperatures were in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, both teams have to play in it, but maybe the Cubs are a little more used to playing in cooler weather than the Dodgers. Will that affect them? I don't know, but you know, cooler weather definitely makes it a pitcher's night.
Definitely. Now, I believe the Dodgers and the Cubs are both battle tested. I love the grit of the Dodgers, regardless if they win this series or not. Now, Cleveland, they've been on this magic Parker ride, beating everybody up. And Toronto didn't put much resistance because they struck out 50 times in the series. Does this help the Dodgers or the Cubs going against Cleveland? Because I want to see Cleveland when they get punched in the face to see how they react. I love, you know, their manager, of course. But I just, you know, because it was so easy, say, for instance, they lose a game in Cleveland game one. I wonder how that affects them. What do you think?
Well, one of the things about the Blue Jays, that I don't think they took the right approach against Cleveland. They just tried to hit every ball out of the ballpark, which is something they did well during the season. But, you know, when you're trying to do that, that's going to make you press. Like you said, they struck out a lot of times during that series. And the Cubs will not take that approach against Cleveland. The Cleveland Indians pitching staff has been, you know, just blasted by injuries. They really only have one of their regular starters ready to go. That's Corey Kluber, who is also one of the best pitchers in the game. But if the Cubs take a different approach and just try to put the ball in play against some of these lesser Cleveland starters, then they can stay away from having to face Andrew Miller. And nobody wants to face Andrew Miller right now. I mean, he's just been out of this world.
I would rather face Wade than Miller. If Miller's in the seventh and they take him out, I'm a little – even though Wade's been terrific, it's just I'd rather face him than Miller. Miller has been unhittable.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, you know, that's what the Cubs are going to have to do to approach it. I'm sure they've got advanced scouts out who have watched Miller pitch, and if there's any weaknesses in Miller's game, and there aren't many, but if anything's there, you know, the Cubs scouts will have filed a report, and the hitters will know what to expect. But, you know, you got to get there
and
first.
That,
you got to get
there.
You've probably
got to get there. And if we do, if the Cubs do get there, Addison Russell's home run, not only in game four, but the home run in game five off of Blanton, if they ever win, I will call that the curse-breaking home run, because it broke the tie in a tense game, and you could tell it seemed like the Cubs relaxed after Addison Russell hit that home run.
I think that's right, and that ball was absolutely crushed. You know, here's a guy who wasn't hitting much at all during the postseason. All of a sudden, he hits home runs in consecutive games. This has been the case for a lot of Cubs hitters this season, that they will go into streaks where they just don't hit at all. Anthony Rizzo is another guy like that. Now Rizzo's starting to hit. So, you know, get those two guys going and you really can get the offense running.
Yeah, I tell you, though, Dexter Fowler is the key to all of this, because he gets on base and he sets the table and he's starting to see the ball well. I mean, this is a tall order against Kershaw, but that's the key. That's the table setter. And their record, they have a great record when he gets on base and they score in the first inning.
That's right, and the Cubs, I believe, have scored more runs in the first inning than any team in baseball this year. So you're right, that really is the key. Get to Kershaw early. If you can get a runoff in or two maybe in the first inning. They have beaten Kershaw before at Wrigley Field. They did last year. They scored some runs off him at Wrigley the year before, even though they didn't win that game. So they can hit him at Wrigley, and he's not quite as invincible on the road as he is at Dodger Stadium.
Now, I do have a pet peeve about this team. I'm a little disappointed in Jake Arrieta, because I didn't like how he pitched the Cardinal game last year. I didn't like how he pitched the Met game. I didn't even like how he pitched the Giant game that was won. And I really was I don't think he battled like Lester did, and like I forget his name now. Lackey. I saw my cup there. Lackey battle, even though it was only 14. I don't think he battled like those two pitchers did.
Well, the problem with Jake, I think, this year is that he hasn't had the command he did last year. You know, last year he hardly walked anybody. This year he's just been walking too many guys. And even in some of the games he's pitched well, he's gotten to 100-plus pitches by the sixth inning, and that's not good. So he's got to start pounding the zone more. Maybe there's a mechanical problem they fixed. Hopefully they fixed. Because you know how good Jake can be when Jake is on. But, you know, he's going to have to be better than he's been for the second half of this season.
But now he's yet to have that Jake Arrieta-type postseason game all the four games he's pitched. So he's due to have one of those Jake Arrieta kind of games where he's just – on, and his stuff is electric. That's kind of what I'm waiting for out of Jake.
I think we're all waiting for that, and here's my hope. I'm hoping that game's in the World Series instead of Game 7.
Me too. And Lester, if they do win and they play the Indians, you know the Indians are going to run. The Dodgers were bluffing, but is, and you know, we know how tough Lester is because he's money under pressure. Do you think that Joe Madden says, you know what, throw to first base. Even if you throw it away, it's on me. That's my decision. Just throw it early just to pick them off, just to send a message to your head. Do you think they would try that if they played in the Cleveland series?
You know, I think John Lester's going to play John Lester's game. He's not going to try to be somebody he isn't. And, you know, keep in mind, he's got David Ross behind the plate. Ross is good at throwing runners out. So even if Lester can't hold the runners, it's possible Ross will throw them out. He was very good at doing that all year.
Definitely. Finally, you think the Cubs could get it done this year, and we could celebrate, and I don't have to hear about 109 years of losing.
Well, none of us wants to hear about that, and it's really hard to make predictions like this. You know, of course we want the Cubs to win. Of course we think the Cubs can win. They just got to go out and do it. This team is as prepared as any Cubs team I have ever seen to take the next step. And I think the most important thing is that they, you know, all this history and everything that the national media likes to throw at us, they don't care about any of it. And I think that's really part of getting over the hump. And I think that's credit to Joe Madden, who, you know, really prepares these guys the right way. And it could that be the difference? The talent's there. They just have to go out there and play their best game.
Thank you very much. You're terrific as usual. You don't have to get back to you if they do win and go to World Series. You don't have to use you again because you're a terrific guest.
You got it. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem. Yeah, that's going to be the key. It's in between the ears, and I said that before, and they're able to overcome any of the pressure and the burden of winning. Now I'm going to go to college football. There's a big game today, Texas A&M. Goes to Alabama to play the Crimson Tide. I will be at Buffalo Wild Wings. There's a place, there's Buffalo Wild Wings in Linden, New Jersey. I love to go to. I love to get my favorite seat. I have the manager that always takes care of me. And I think the key to this game, and by the way, I get the hamburger. Everybody talks about the wings. The wings are good. This is good a burger as you could come. Red Robin has a great burger. Five Guys has a great burger. Buffalo Wild Wings is right up there. When you go to any Buffalo Wild Wings in the country, wherever you're listening, the hamburger. Get it any kind of hamburger you want. I just get it regular cheese. Get it any kind of way they want. They have stepped their game up as far as that's concerned. So I had to put that in there. Now Alabama versus the Texas A&M Aggies. This is an interesting game because the Aggies have the physicality and physical play to beat Alabama, but can they do it for 15 rounds? Alabama is a 15-round team. And I think the key is Garrett Allen and Damian Hall are the best defensive ends in football. They're going to be first-round picks. They're going to have to wreak havoc, not only in the passing game, but the running game. Alabama's going to run it down your throat. Jared Hurts is averaging 100 yards a game rushing. He's a good quality passer. He's a smart passer. I mean, he's what Alabama has never really had, a good, solid dual threat. And what I love about what Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin have done, they've adjusted with the times. They were a bigger group defensively. Now they're sleeker and faster, so they can play the spread offenses better. And that's why they're not just beating teams now, they're destroying teams that are good. That Trevor Knight only throws only over 50% throw the ball well and pass it well. I know he can run well, but you're not going to run 60, 70-yard touchdown runs against the Crimson Tide like you did against Tennessee and Arkansas. I don't believe that's going to happen. Can Travion Williams run it enough? You just don't run on Nick Saban. But Texas A&M has to run it a little bit and be physical like they have. They've gashed teams with their run. You're not doing that to Alabama, but you have to keep them honest so Trevor Knight can go to their bigger receivers. Because if there is a weakness in Alabama, it could be their secondary. But their secondary also can turn a pick six on you. And you got to be careful punting the ball because Alabama's special teams are extraordinary. If you look at the Clemson game last year, they take one back on the kickoff. You look at the Tennessee game, they take one back on the kick on the punt. You look at the Mississippi game, they take one back on the punt. So all three phases, you better come to play. The Aggies could definitely give Alabama trouble because they're a 19-point underdog, and they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. But because it's in Tuscaloosa, I give Alabama edge. Texas A&M covers the spread. I got the Alabama Crimson Tide winning. I'm going to be watching that game, eating a burger. I'm in my happy place when I'm at the Buffalo Wild Wings, eating a burger and watching SEC football. Now, finally, in the NFL, there's really one big game. The Steelers and the Patriots, I don't consider it a big game without Roethlisberger. Either the Patriots sleepwalk and they win by a couple touchdowns and the Steelers play way over their heads, which could happen, or they win by about 40 to 50 points where they just all lights out. I have a feeling because Roethlisberger not there and they're not as motivated that I think New England may sleepwalk through this game. I could be wrong. And they win in a close game. They're going to win. They should win. I'll be the upset of the year if come in there with Landry Jones and beats a Belichick coach team. But I've seen New England blow teams out. Then I've seen them sleepwalk, like when they only beat the Dolphins 28-21 at home. So I have that feeling that the Steelers will play a little more inspired and that the Patriots will win. But the really big game is the Seahawks and Cardinals. The Cardinals are 3-3. They've kind of righted the ship a little bit, but they don't have a signature win on their resume. Home versus Seattle, 4-1. They could go 3-2 in the conference and make Seattle go 1-2 in the conference, and they can have a leg up. I think the key is Carson Palmer can't throw a bunch of picks. They have to play solid. Seattle's got to get more running. They got to get more running out of Christian Michael. They have 81 carries, 354 yards. They need a little more balance to go at Russell Williams and his passing and how great he's. And it's more, they morph more into a passing team because he has 1,300 yards passing. He's 5 TDs, 1 interception. He's been solid. Graham is really, he's found a home in Seattle now that they have a chemistry. You know, Baldwin's been terrific. I just have a hunch that the Cardinals, because they're at home on a Sunday night, they're not going to lay the egg they did against New England. The Cardinals figure out a way to win, which is really taking a chance, picking against the Seahawks. I'm going on a hunch. So Friday, I will talk more World Series baseball and a little bit of the NBA.